America has a moving crisis in that not very many people are moving. Even millennials seem to be staying put. A new report out about this in Slate. Henry Graybar is the author of the story. He is with us this morning. Henry, what did you find from your reporting and from the stats?
Well, so we've known for several years that Americans are making fewer interstate moves than they have at almost any time in history. And what this latest Harvard housing report shows is that this is also happening at a local level. So not only are Americans moving less between states, but they're also moving less at a local level.
And what do the numbers say? I mean, how significant is the reduction?
Well, so it's ticking down by small percentage points, but you got to remember this is a massive number of people. So the decline is from 13% of Americans making moves in 2006 to 12% in 2013. Now it's down to 11%. So that may seem like a small decline, but in reality, that's millions of fewer moves. And the decline is more pronounced among young people. If you look at people 20 to 24-year-old, 34% of them moved in 1996. Last year, just 24% of them moved.
So what is behind the numbers? Why are we seeing this?
There's a few things going on. One of the issues is that America is getting older. Older people move less. They're more likely to own their homes. And so the gradual aging of America's population is necessarily taking that mobility rate down a little bit. But there's something else that's happening, which is that as these older people settle into their homes, there's been a paucity of houses on the housing market. So it's getting a lot harder for younger people who might want to make a move to find a house to move into.
Let's start with the older part of that first. I guess the reasoning for older people staying put is, hey, I like my house. I want to stay here. Is that generally the reason?
Yeah, there's two things. I mean, number one, older people have been in the workforce the longest and they're more likely to have attained home ownership. And so that makes it easier for them to stay in their place as they get older and less likely to downsize. And yeah, they love their houses and they don't want to leave. So that's been going on for decades. I don't think that trend has changed. What has changed is that there are so many more old people now as the boomers enter old age.
Right. And this we've heard this in many different aspects. And boomers overdoing health care. We're seeing stress on the health care system, other systems as well. It's not surprising that we're seeing it in housing as well. The part of this that I think probably will surprise everybody is that the millennials aren't moving as much. Does that have anything to do with the wage part of the story, that we've seen wages go up very slowly and we're still not seeing that kind of growth?
That's definitely part of it. If you look at the way that wages, rents, and home prices have all evolved in the last 30 years, it's clear that wages are at the bottom. I think wages have increased for young people by about 5% in the last three decades, which is probably below the rate of inflation, to say nothing of the rate of rent and home price increases.
Go ahead.
Well, so that's obviously that's a big element of this, and the other element is on the other side, which is that the home prices have skyrocketed. Even since the recession, they've recovered most, if not all, of their value in many markets, and wages haven't kept pace.
We've been talking about demographics. So let's talk a little bit about geographic. Is it worse in one state compared to another, or are we seeing these trends all across the country?
Well, we think that there may be two components to this. One of them is cultural and one of them is economic. So, I mean, and I'm talking about younger people here. The cultural component is that there are more dual earner households. The rise of working women has pushed marriage and childbirth back. For the first time, American women are more likely to have kids in their 30s than in their 20s. And all that pushes off home ownership for young couples in many cases. So that's the cultural component of it. But the economic component is huge, and this is where geography comes in. We know that some cities have housing prices that can be double or triple what they are in other cities. You know, you look at San Francisco, San Jose, Los Angeles, coastal markets. And in those cities, the Harvard report shows that the household formation rate among millennials falls by 10 percentage points if you move from the 25 most affordable cities to the 25 least affordable cities.
And that means what, in layman's terms?
So household formation basically means I am deciding to move in with my partner or by myself and create a household of my own, okay. As opposed to, say, living with my parents. And what that means is that there's clearly the housing market is having an enormous influence on millennials' decisions to buy a place, to rent a place of their own, to get married, to have kids. The situation that the housing market is in these most expensive cities is clearly influencing the way people decide to go through life.
I was really surprised in this story, and this is kind of an interesting part of this, too, on the other side of the coin. Those places where there's rent stabilization or where there is significant property tax relief in place, that could be having a lock-in effect for some people.
Yeah, I think that's true as well. In New York City, certainly, the situation is anomalous, of course, because the rents are so high and the rent stabilization program is so expansive. But it's definitely true that when people get into a good subsidized apartment that they like, they won't leave even if they're one 75-year-old man living in a three-bedroom apartment, because it's clear that there are no better alternatives on the market. In California, where they have Proposition 13, which froze property tax rates in 1978, it's if you're an older homeowner thinking about downsizing, you could face a massive property tax increase by selling your old place and moving into a new one. So it's true that some of these programs that aim to increase affordability for people who are currently in their homes can have a detrimental effect on the housing market for everyone else.
Are there any other impacts that are kind of echoing from this? I would imagine that there may be some other not necessarily economic, but socio impacts of having people stay in one place longer than they used to or not.
I think that's definitely true. It's clear, as I said before, that it's influencing the rates of household formation. So it's possible that in cities where it costs more to buy a home, that millennials might be pushing off marriage and having children because it's become so expensive. And that's not just about the housing market, of course, but that's certainly a factor. And then the other one, of course, is that young people may be less likely to move to metro areas or cities where they might be able to find the job of their dreams because they're feeling intimidated by the high cost of rents or housing. So it seems clear that the declining mobility rate is working in tandem with people feeling reluctant to go out and find the jobs that they might want.
And so what is going to be the end story here? Is there a solution? Are there solutions that perhaps are going to be coming, or are we pretty much going to be stuck with this downward trend going forward?
Well, what's strange is that you would think that the fact that we're in a basically producing fewer homes at any time in decades. I mean, we're in a massive housing shortage. Home builders have not recovered from the recession at all, even as home prices have shot back up. So your Econ 101 professor would tell you that this is not normal. Supply is supposed to respond to demand in this way. And so the question is, why aren't these houses being built? And housing market experts say there are land use restrictions, cost of building materials with tariffs is not helping with, skilled worker shortage, and fewer vacant lots in various cities. So all these things are holding back the housing market from recovery. And when I say recovery, I mean actually prices falling. So making it easier for people to get into the market. And until that happens, I don't see this mobility rate ticking back up again, because the fact is, if you are trying to move to a place like San Francisco, your options are very, very limited right now. And until more homes start being built in these in-demand metros, I don't see that going anywhere.
Boy, and as we sit here and speak, you hear more economists talking about a possible recession coming sooner than later. How would a recession exacerbate all of this?
Well, paradoxically, I think for millennials who have been eagerly awaiting their opportunity to get into the housing market, a crash in housing prices would be probably welcome. Nice. So, you know, that's one element. Obviously, you know, once people start losing their jobs, there's all sorts of trickle-down effects everywhere. But what's clear is that these millennials who graduated from college or graduate school at the beginning of the recession and felt the wage effects from entering a very poor job market, they got jobs just in time to become eligible for homeownership at a time when home prices are at record highs. So they really got screwed twice over. So I think that, you know, for people who are sitting around renting and waiting to buy, I think they would probably welcome a small dip in housing prices.
Henry, good analysis. We appreciate you being with us this morning.
My pleasure.
Henry Graybar is a staff writer for Slate.com's Money Box. You can read more, again, at moneybox.com and at slate.com.